In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, ideas can kill or they can bring life. Ideas are very powerful things, although not as powerful as God. Ideas can be true or they can approximate being true, being very close to true, because anything we say about God can't be completely true, because God is. We can't describe him, so our ideas cannot fully describe him. But we have an idea that tells us about how things will be, and that is that we will be in God. We will be in his uncreated energies and light. We will have an intimate knowledge and closeness to him. We will have union with him. That's what we were born for. St. Peter talks about that we will be partakers of the divine nature. This is because of our nature. Because our nature is according to the image and after the likeness of God. Therefore, it must be that in the next life we will be partakers of the life of the Holy Trinity. This is a very powerful idea. There's a lot of ideas that do not save. Legalism, materialism. Here's another one that doesn't save. We all take part in it to a greater or lesser degree. Put it offism. Or I'm too busy-ism. These are ideas. You must order your life according to how you think. And it's not your brain that does the thinking. Oh yes, we can do biological experiments and know that certain parts of the brain do certain things. But the actual knowledge of God, that's not in the brain. That's in the soul. And we must cultivate this knowledge. We must know we are born for union with God. St. Gregory Palamas taught this explicitly. In the face of great battles with the Calabrian monk Varlam, who was a westernizing, basically papophile monk. And his idea does not save. The idea that we cannot approach God in his essence and his energies, be bathed in his uncreated light. That idea does not save. I was just reading something recently, and it was a very good definition of heresy. Heresy is an idea that cannot save. There's a lot of them. I went through some of them, maybe not so theological, but there's a lot of also theological ones, that you don't need baptism. There's a lot of heresies, sexual heresies in our day now. You know why all those sexual heresies are present nowadays? I mean, you can look at social factors and things like that. But the reason why these sexual heresies are present is because people don't know the purpose of their life. That's an idea. They don't know why they were born. Even Christians. Even people that come to church. Because they think of Christianity usually in a very legalistic way. And legalism's a funny thing. Legalism both causes people to do things that are beyond their strength and also to be lazy. Because legalism allows us to rationalize. These are all ideas that cause death. So the reason why there's sexual immorality in the age everywhere, and why it's promoted by governments, why it gets people elected now, is because people don't know what the purpose of their life is. And they don't live according to that purpose. They don't see it at all. Do you? In my experience, we live small lives. Even people that come to church every day, we live small lives. God is big. God created us to be in him. to have union with Him. We should feel that pull, that yearning to be in union with God every day. And we should also feel the things that sever that union or make that union more tenuous. That, by the way, is known by a term, the remembrance of death. That's something that Orthodox ascetical literature is full of. The remembrance of death is not that we know we're going to die. It is that we know that there are things that give life and things that lead to death. And we are always comparing between the two. And we always are urging ourselves to find those things that give life. And when we see the things that lead to death, we run from them as best as we can. But this only occurs if you have the right ideas about God. God created you for union with Him. God created you for intimacy with Him. Our world is not a very intimate world nowadays. It's a world with very little communication, lots of technology, very little communication, very little sharing of heart to heart. God says He wants our heart. We must learn how to give our heart to Him. St. Gregory Palamas learned how to do it, and he taught others how to do it, and he laid down the greatest theological treatises that tell us that indeed we were born for union with God. Now, how do you obtain these ideas, these true ideas about God, why you were created, and what your purpose is? Well, you sure don't get it by being lazy. You sure don't get it by skipping your prayers, or by fasting when it's convenient, or by going to church only on Sunday. You get it by struggle for what's important. Your idea must urge you on to struggle, to do all things, to be able to learn the commandments and follow them, and to have an intimate relationship with your Father. Not a legalistic one. Not a sometimes one. Not a God is in a box relationship. Not a that there's a secular and a sacred in your life type relationship. Everything should be sacred. The whole way you live should be sacred. If you understand this, then you will live life well. You will be among those sheep that the Lord says, they follow me because they know my voice. That gospel is read for a bishop, St. Gregory Palamas, and many other bishops. We read this part of St. John about him being Jesus Christ saying that he's the door, he's the shepherd. And in my opinion, the part that is the most important is actually the one that's read in Matins. It says, my sheep follow me because they know my voice. How do you know God's voice? By being close to Him, by being with Him, by following the commandments, by looking at things in the world and saying, that's not life, I don't want that. And only trying to do the things that lead to life. That's how you know God's voice. And you must modify all the time how you think about God, how you think about the world, your attitudes and your priorities, because they will slip over time. And you modify that by humbling yourself, by being obedient to the Scripture, by reading the Scripture often. And all the things that I tell you, all the ascetic exercises that we do, everything we do has a purpose. We don't just fast because, you know, we're trying to not enjoy our food for 40 days. We fast because our flesh wars against our spirit. And we want to basically, in essence, tell our flesh, who's boss? The spirit is boss. What matters is the spirit. What matters is to live life spiritually, to live life in a heavenly way, And so we put food in its proper place. That's why we fast. And because of that, if we fast carefully, with desire, I don't care if you slip up once in a while, I care if you have the priority that you're going to fast, then God will sharpen your wit. And you'll see more clearly things that you need to see clearly. This time of Great Lent is not just a, you know, delay before Pascha and we can eat sausage. This time of Lent is a preparation, a cultivation of how you think. Because really, how you think is how you are. I learned that especially, I've told this story before, maybe it's boring, but I think it's really important. It was kind of a eureka moment for me. As a nurse in the ICU, seeing people sometimes in terrible pain, sometimes they were dying, and they knew they were dying, everything was falling apart, and they were radiant with joy. They'd lived their life well. Everybody came in to see them. Everybody called them Meemaw. Even the nurses. They were happy. Then again, I saw people who had, I remember one particular woman, she'd attempted suicide. She was young, beautiful, and miserable. I looked in her eyes, and the eyes were eyes of deep, dark despair. There's nothing wrong with her, except how she thought. So you must cultivate the way you think. Really, St. Gregory's teaching really boils down to that. God created you for a purpose, to know Him intimately. What are you doing about that? What are you doing to know Him intimately? You're saying, oh, well, I can't get time to say my morning prayers because, you know, I wake up too late and I'm too groggy without coffee and blah, blah, blah. And there goes that morning. And then the next one and the next one and the next one. But if you had this idea firmly in your heart that you were created for union with God and nothing else matters, everything else is going to disappear, then you'd find time for your morning prayers. And you'd find a way to fast a little more strictly. And you'd find a way to be more kind to people that are mean to you or lie to you or are difficult or peculiar. If you have this idea in your heart. So the ideas are really, really important. I find that as a confessor all the time. A lot of times people come and confess a sin basically because, well, you know, I know it's a sin. I know it's a sin. Do you know why it's a sin? Do you know why it's so destructive to your soul? No, it's just I got to confess it because, you know, I'm supposed to. That's not doing you any good. Those people don't have this idea of who God is. God wants complete union with you. He is offering you to participate in His activity, in the love of the Holy Trinity. That's better than anything in the world. And anything that brings you down, you should always have in your heart that it's nothing compared to who God is. Now, as far as sins and weaknesses, those things will pass if you have a desire to follow God with all your heart. You know, that's what sin is, by the way. It's where we are not as we should be. It's not about what you do and what you don't do. It's about who you are. God created us to be in union with Him. Sin makes that not possible. Not the stuff you do, but who you are. And so you should hate sin because it is trying to rob you of the greatest, not really the greatest, the only gift in the universe. The only thing that matters is union with God. If you have that idea, then it'll be a lot easier for you to struggle the next time you want to get angry or curse or be lazy or skip your prayers or not fast, or whatever it is. That's what should motivate you. I've talked to you before about, in the parable about the supper, and when so many people had made excuses, and the Lord had said, go out into the city and get more people, and the wedding hall was not full yet. And he said then to his slaves, that is the angels, go out into the byways and the lanes and compel them to come in. And I've explained to you that this compelling is more than just this idea that the Lord is saying, come to my supper. This compelling must be in your heart. It must be what motivates you about how you should live. It must be something deep within you that no one can get rid of, no one can take away, that you know that you were born for a purpose. And as far as your sins, they will be obliterated if you live according to that purpose. You have to feel a compulsion. It has to be from you. It's not an outer slavery. It is inner. And that idea comes from knowing who God is and who you are. And what your purpose is. And that's really what St. Gregory Palamas is all about. Now, some really, really smart people have written about him. And you can read their books and get pretty confused, because it's really tough reading. But in essence, what it means is this. You were born for a purpose. Live according to that purpose. Let that purpose compel you to do what is right and to avoid what is wrong. And to pray when you don't feel like praying. And to forgive when you don't feel like forgiving. And to humble yourself when you feel like popping off with your mouth. If you do that, then you grow in ways that you can't even imagine. And it all starts with knowing who you are and who God is. Cultivate that, brothers and sisters, in your hearts. That's the greatest gift that you can have, is to know who God is and who you are. Because if you know it, then you will be not far from the kingdom of heaven. And God will not allow you to be lost. And you will be in union with Him in the last time, at the end of the age. Hold on to that idea. Cultivate that idea. Don't let anybody take it from you. May God help you in this. Amén.